What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street, it's a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Fun guest list today coming up in segment number 2 of the show. So at 6:20 p.m. Eastern, we will be spending 2 segments with Jake Asman, who's going to stop by in studio, talk show host in Houston, also grew up in the New York area and is a big-time fan of the JTS Jets. So we'll talk about that catastrophic game for the Jets last night with him, go around the league, talk a little college football as well. And then at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific, I know a lot of you are in the playoffs for fantasy football, so we'll be joined by CBS Sports fantasy insider, fantasy guru in Jamie Eisenberg. And then finally, in the last hour of the show at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, in his weekly Football Friday spot, doing a little NFL picks, it is Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. And producing this extravaganza today for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
I actually got to bring Stuart Kovacs into this conversation real quickly, just because he's on the other side of the glass. And I woke up this morning. We'll get into all this Jets-Jaguars nonsense coming up in just a second. But I just need a ruling here from Stuart Kovacs if this is a genuine holiday gift. So I will be giving Hickey my holiday gift coming up later on in the show. But this morning, there's a restaurant right next door called Westville, which I frequently am at before the show. Very easy to quickly go sit down, get something, or order it in and then bring it back up here to devour. Like tonight I got a grilled chicken pesto salad, which was absolutely delicious as you try to eat a little bit healthier before all the gluttonous events that will be happening this weekend. So this morning I get an email from Westville and it goes, "Happy holidays, here's a gift card." I'm like, oh, wow. This is really nice. They gave me a gift card. This is how naive I am. They gave me a gift card just because I go there so much. And then I'm reading through the actual gift card, and it is actually a gift card for my producer extraordinaire, which he did not have to do, and I'm very appreciative of it, in Hot Take Hickey. So Hot Take Hickey gave me a gift card to Westville, which I was very thankful of. But then when I'm reading the card says, "Here's the gift card that I owe you from the 2 meals that I lost to you in a bet that we made on the air. Happy holidays." So is that a holiday gift here, Stu Kovacs? Or is that his way of him just weaseling it? Let me be a nice guy. Let me get you a holiday gift and say happy holidays, but also pay off his debts to me. I need your ruling on this.
So it's just to pay off debts, or it's the gift, or is it both? That's what I'm a little confused about,
I guess. What I'm confused about, too. So
it's both, because first of all, it's not 2 dinners. It was 1 dinner.
No, it was 2 dinners.
No, it was not.
Wait, stop. It was two dinners, and out of the kindness of my heart, I took one off the board.
No, because I got a question right that we had like some trivia from a few months ago.
Yes. You got it wrong at first, but I took the first one off the board. I did that nicely. But regardless, you weaseled your way for an entire year owing me two dinners. Then he gets me, technically only owed me one dinner because I'm a nice guy and not a jackass. And I get this note of happy holidays. Here is some, here's a gift card. And this is also factoring in to the dinners that I did owe you. So is that a genuine holiday gift or is Hickey a little bit of a weasel? I need your official ruling, Stu Kovacs, because no one has any problems with you around here and everyone gets along with Stu. And I think you'd be very objective in this situation because even though Stu and I once worked together in a very, very, very low budget operation at a radio station in Trenton, New Jersey, you have been a lot more friendly and loyal to One Hot Take Hickey. But here it was. Happy holidays. This was the message. Happy holidays. Now you can finally get your dinner. I owe you. You can see how that comes off to me. Here's a holiday gift, but it's really just me paying off my debts talking about Hickey.
It's almost double dipping in a way.
Yeah,
it's
like the Seinfeld double dipping. So what's the ruling here? Do you think that's a genuine holiday gift?
I mean, I don't think it's like disingenuous. I just feel like they should be separated. It should be a holiday gift should be one, and paying off a bet or debt, whatever you want to call it, should be the secondary.
Hickey actually got me one of the best holiday gifts ever. I think this was now almost 3 years ago. Hickey got me custom golf balls, which was awesome. Zach Gelb golf balls, which were phenomenal, except I don't have many of them left because when I play golf, I lose about probably 15 balls a round because I hit the ball either so far to the left or so far to the right. So anyway, I do appreciate the gift here, Hickey, and I'm just messing with you out of the game. What is he chirping about behind the glass? Because he looks all upset. He looks all dazed and confused right now. I think he's annoyed that I kind of threw him under the bus here for his holiday gift. You all right there, Hickey? Are we going to be able to have a good show here for the rest of the year?
No, it's fine. Yeah, I thought you'd be appreciative, but I can't lie. I have a little regret about the gift now. Wish I could rescind.
Well,
Merry Christmas to everybody.
I already used $18.27 of it for a salad. So if you want to go try to claim that someone fraudulently used your credit card, you could go do that. All right. Hickey will get his holiday gift coming up later on in the show. Are you nervous as to what I got you? Because not that I ever used this for a holiday gift, but the last time I got you a gift and randomly just said I got you a gift, it was a 28-3 Matt Ryan Colts jersey. So where are you at on your expectations for the gift that I'm going to give you as we celebrate the holiday season here on CBS Sports Radio today with the Zach Gelb Show? Take me through the brain of Hot Take Hickey right now.
At this point, I'm expecting a 33-0 Matt Ryan jersey. After the 28-3 shirt, I figure you got to update a little bit with the most recent bit of history, especially related to the Colts now, where 23 is obviously with the Falcons. I think that's where my expectations.
No.
The only thing I don't know is, can you get a hyphen? Can you get a dash in the jersey number?
So I was going to get you a custom gift, and this would have had a little bit poking fun at your expense. But then the gift that I wanted to get you that would have been custom would have cost me an extra, I don't know why this was, an extra $175. So full disclosure, I wasn't spending an extra $175 on you with already how much this gift already cost. So I did a little alterations, and I got you two gifts. One is a piece of clothing that we'll get to later. The other is food-related, and I think you will like this. What do you
did
think
you
this
bake
is?
Something, or is this like
no,
a...
No,
no. Well, that's why I was laughing. You said food-related.
What, did you think I made an escargot for you?
Yes, honestly. I was like, oh, man, is this guy in the kitchen cooking something I probably won't like, or...
Poison things up a little bit, serve it to Hickey, kill two birds with one stone. Jeez. Pretty much.
Everyone's in the holiday spirit today.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickster, last night, as we have some fun right out of the gate, Jets fans aren't having fun right now because their quarterback is not going to be their quarterback that much longer, but he's an absolute disaster in Zach Wilson. And on the other side, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had the pick before Zach Wilson, having the first overall pick. Jets had the second overall pick. And Trevor Lawrence, the last eight games or so, is showing to be the player that we thought he could have been when he was drafted and all the hype and all the hoopla that was surrounding him when he was at Clemson. So now Trevor Lawrence is balling out, and not only balling out, and he also has a competent head coach in the NFL now compared to that jackass last year of Urban Meyer. When you bring in Doug Peterson, who's won a Super Bowl in this league and has coached a lot of quarterbacks. But now this Jacksonville Jaguars team is, against all odds, right in the thick of potentially winning the AFC South. Now, they won't be a wild card team, but they could win the AFC South. Also, Tennessee, it looks like Ryan Tannehill is done for the season. So now the Jaguars, who win last night on Thursday Night Football, not only is that big, but you look at their schedule the rest of the way. When Tennessee plays this weekend and they're 7-7, they go up against the Texans, but the Jaguars already through week 16 are 7-8. You look at the schedule for the Jaguars the rest of the way, it's Houston, and then they do play Tennessee that final week of the season. So next weekend, I know the Jaguars lost early in the year to the Texans 13-6, but the Jaguars should be able to take care of the Houston Texans, and then they would be 8-8 going into that final weekend, where if you look at it on the other end, when you see Tennessee's schedule, they have the Texans this weekend, then they play the Cowboys tough game, and then they wrap up the year up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, we got into this conversation 2 weeks ago, and it was a little bit ambiguous. We were saying, oh, wow, the Jaguars are this tremendous story, but we didn't know how far they would take it. With the uncertainty now of what Malik Willis is and the way that the Jaguars are just playing really good football, I now fully believe and now fully expect that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win the AFC South, and they're going to be hosting a home playoff game. That's what I think is going to happen. And even if, and you don't want to take a moral victory, but even if Tennessee, let's say, beats them in that final game of the season, and you have Tennessee go to the playoff over Jacksonville, if you're a Jaguars fan, with also Calvin Ridley getting traded to you, and he's going to be on your team next year, you've seen the emergence of Zay Jones, you have Christian Kirk, you know what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. The Jaguars in an AFC South where the Colts have no direction. Tennessee, we don't even know who's going to be their quarterback next year. And the Texans are so far away. The Jaguars are setting themselves up to not only win the division this year, but maybe go on a little bit of a run here with their coach in Doug Peterson and also their coach in Trevor Lawrence to consistently, and we'll see if they could do it, but consistently win the AFC South. So, Hickey, you are a fan, obviously, of the Indianapolis Colts inside the AFC South. We see what is transpiring here with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tennessee was 7-3 when they beat Green Bay. Everyone's like, oh, they're automatically going to win the AFC South. They have not won a game since, and they've lost four in a row. They're 7-7. They play the Texans, the Cowboys, and the Jaguars the rest of the way. I know, I'm pretty sure, Hickey, you believe the Jaguars are going to win the division this year like I do from our conversations that we've had. But you being inside that division, them going right up against you guys for the foreseeable future and knowing the rest of the landscape in this division, how do you view the future prospects here of the Jacksonville Jaguars and what they could be for years and years to come?
High, because, I mean, you look at what they're achieving right now, and sure, right, if they get the division, best case, it's probably going to be, 9-8, so it's not like it's this great record. But you have Trevor Lawrence, who we've really seen now in the second half of this season, really come together, really put it all together. And he's doing so really with not a lot of weapons, right? It's Travis Etienne, and then it's who? Zay Jones? Evan Ingram? You get this guy number
Zay
one
Jones
receiver.
Zay Jones has been pretty damn good.
He's solid, but you get Calvin him a Ridley, true though, number one in. Receiver. Right, maybe that's Calvin Ridley next
year. That's your number one wide receiver. But Christian Kirk has been exceptional.
You got to assume that, you know, one or two extra weapons this offseason, maybe even a year or two from now, this Jaguars team, I think, could be on the trajectory of, not next year, but maybe 2 or 3 years, getting to a level where they could compete with the big three and now in the AFC of the Chiefs, Bills, and Bengals.
Wow. I'm not ready to go there.
And I'm saying 2 years, like down the trajectory. Yeah. Like, you have the young quarterback. Obviously, it's the first thing you need. And so far, Trevor Lawrence is looking like that.
Yeah, and you also have the quarterback, which is massive as well. And that does help you when you have the quarterback and the coach. And now the rest of the team just got to be exceptional as well. And then the other side, Detroit, very similarly to Jacksonville, started off in horrendous fashion. And then now it's getting picked up to be this team that you expect them to make the playoffs. And you look at the Detroit Lions. They play the Panthers this weekend, Chicago, and Green Bay. I said it last week, going, you know, right after their, or early in the week, right after their game up against the Jets. I think they're going to win out. I really do. I think the Lions are going to be 10-7 and going to the playoffs. So this is kind of crazy where you look at the Lions and the Jaguars, and before the year it was like, okay, who knows what to expect from there. From them, both those teams should be going to the playoffs this year. So that's our poll question today. Will the Jaguars and Lions make the playoffs? You can find it on Twitter at Zach Gelbat, CBS Sports Radio. Here's the early returns. Both won't at 4.6%. Just the Lions at 23%. Just the Jaguars will make the postseason 34.5%. And then both will make the postseason is leading the charge here at 37.9%. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Remember Anne, who's been very critical of you, hot take Kiki, who keeps on direct messaging me?
Yeah, what was that? What was she mad at me about a few weeks ago? I forget what it was.
I don't know. I'm looking at these messages.
Wings, maybe, or something?
Oh, that you had a lame explanation, oh, and why you didn't get a cheesesteak when you were in Philadelphia.
That, okay.
Because she, I think she's from Philadelphia. So she chimed in on your holiday gift to me, which I'm very appreciative of. I was just wondering if it was a genuine gift because you owed me something from a bet, and this is how you paid it off. Anne wrote, OMG, this is so such a weasel thing to do. No, it's not a genuine Christmas gift. He is, I guess, trying to save himself money. Seems like a cheapo move to me. That's great. Now, let me be clear. I did not expect a Christmas gift from Hickey. So I do appreciate Hickey giving me a Christmas gift. And I was never going to make him actually buy me dinner. I just like having that being held over his head because we basically were able to do so for a year. So, Hickey, can we have like a nice little Christmas Hanukkah hug here? As we could do so kind of through the glass and
Chanukah?
All will be forgiven.
Can we call it Chanukah?
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Christmasica?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you want to
doesn't
do.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue either.
I love Christmas. I love Hanukkah. I love Hanukkah. I love Christmas. I love Kwanzaa. Whatever you celebrate, I love. But I do appreciate your gift, and I hope you appreciate my gift coming up later on in the show that we will reveal. When we come on back, Jake Asman going to join us in.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And now joining us in studio, a good friend of mine in the radio world. He is a radio star in Houston doing local radio. And that, of course, is Jake Asman, who is a long-suffering Jets fan who, for some reason, made the trip back to the East Coast from Houston for this wonderful weather, and he went to go watch the Jets last night, and your football team was a disaster.
Yes. Well, let's start with the quarterback. The quarterback was a disaster. I'd like to separate that from the rest of the team. The rest of the team wasn't good either, but the quarterback was a disaster, and I guess I like watching just awful things because I sat in the rain last night, and if you were at this game last night at MetLife, you're a diehard Jets fan. There's not casual
fans
going to this game when it's, you know, 30 degrees and it's raining and it's cold and it's nasty. I think I got pneumonia from sitting there. It certainly was
not
worth it.
Stay away from me.
Yeah, it certainly was not worth it based on the product we watched on the field last night. That was an absolute utter disaster.
So here's where I struggle with the Jets, because I look at this roster and you see a roster that is good, and Joe Douglas has done a good job as the general manager, but they have swung and missed now twice when drafting the quarterback. So it just makes me wonder, when you look at Joe Douglas, who I think is a really good GM, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he should get fired or anything like that, but you being a Jet fan, do you still have confidence, even though Joe's been able to address everyone else on the roster, and they probably won't draft a quarterback this year because they're not going to be bad enough record-wise, barring if they trade up, but if he's in that position again to have a top five pick or maybe trade up and be in a top five pick, that he could evaluate a proper quarterback?
You're certainly concerned. I'll say this. Darnold wasn't him. That was Mike McCagnan. Well, so this was his first, you know, big move, swing and miss. He got it wrong with Zach Wilson. He wouldn't be the first general manager to miss on a quarterback and be able to recover from it. And you brought up the rest of the roster. This is a playoff roster. If they had competent quarterback play, I think they're a 10, 11-win team, let's say. If Mike White doesn't go down, I think this team is actually in the playoffs. That's how confident I am.
Do they win last night if Mike White's playing?
They either win last night or they win the Lions game. And they win at least one of the Patriot games, which were utter disasters by
Zach
Wilson.
So, no, I can't disagree with that.
So that's 10 wins right there. So they're not that far away. The thing with Douglas that he has to be able to now do is admit you made the mistake, just like Howie Roseman, his idol in Philly, did with Carson Wentz, just like Les Snead did with Jared Goff in L.A. Admit you made the mistake. The rest of the team's ready to win, and find that veteran quarterback, whether it's Jimmy G, Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, whatever name you want to throw out there, find that guy and figure out the quarterback spot, unless you think it's Mike White. But I have a hard time believing, Zach, that the Jets are going to go into a do-or-die year with a GM in his fifth year, a head coach in his third year, and they're just going to name Mike White the starter and say, you're the guy. I think it's Mike White back, if the contract's right, with a veteran brought in and a true competition, or if it's Garoppolo, he's going to win the job, and he's always hurt, so you need a good backup.
All right, who's your official prediction? 2023, week one next year. Jake Asman, let's say it's a home game, is at the game at that dump of a stadium, MetLife Stadium. It has no personality. It's one of the worst stadiums in the league.
It's a giant AC unit. They built the world's giant AC unit for a team for a stadium that has two NFL teams in the New York area that share it.
The only stadium that is worse is FedEx Field. Other than FedEx Field, MetLife Stadium is just an absolute dump. But when you're at that dump of a stadium, who's starting for the Jets next year, week one?
I will say Jimmy Garoppolo for this reason.
I agree.
He is the only one that we can guarantee will be available. Derek Carr, you got to trade for. Are we convinced Josh McDaniels and the Raiders are going to blow it up a year after they brought in Devontae Adams?
I think they'll try for Brady or Rodgers, and if they don't get either, then they'll go back with him.
So there's a chance that Carr is back there, right? The only guarantee we can make is that Jimmy G is a free agent. He can't be franchised, and we know the Niners have Purdy. They have Trey Lance. Maybe they want to try and bring in Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It seems like Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy that you know is available. He knows the system. He knows Robert Saleh. He knows Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator. It seems like it's the obvious plug and play. You bring him in. You got your competent quarterback. Now it's playoffs or bust.
Here's the other question, too. If we get a little bit crazy here when we talk about the Jets quarterback, we hear the talks about maybe Brady. Brady's not coming to the Jets. Rodgers, I think he's staying in Green Bay for at least one more season, especially with how the contract is. What about Lamar? You as a Jet fan, have you started to envision or have gone to the fantasy world where Lamar is maybe done with the Ravens and they could still franchise tag him, we know, up to two times, and maybe they find a way to trade and go all in for Lamar this offseason?
I can't even fathom it because the Ravens are not stupid. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. Why wouldn't they pay this guy? And if they don't pay him, you're talking about using the franchise tag on him maybe twice. Like, look what happened with Kirk Cousins years ago. Look what happened with Dak a couple years ago with the Cowboys. They'd be silly to not pay him. If he's somehow available in a trade, you obviously make the call and you try and see if you can make it happen. I'm not banking on that, Zach. So I think it's way more realistic that it's Carr, maybe it's Gardner Minshew, maybe the Lions want to take a quarterback with the Rams pick and Jared Goff could be available. I just don't find Lamar to be very realistic. I find a hard time to think Aaron Rodgers is that realistic, given his contract and how difficult it'd be from a dead cap standpoint to move him in Green Bay. Honestly, you might laugh, and you brought up Brady.
Why, oh, stop it.
Why wouldn't he at least consider the Jets if he considered
because
the Miami Dolphins?
The Jets.
But why does he hate them? He has no relationship with them other than he would always beat them.
Nah, he hates the Jets.
But who does he hate on the Jets? Rex Ryan? He hasn't been the coach
in 8 years. The whole organization.
He
just hates the organization.
For what?
Brady and Belichick. They hate the Jets. Yeah. They always love beating up on the Jets. Brady makes fun of the Jets still even to this
day. Yeah, so wouldn't it be great if he went there and then stuck it to Belichick, who he doesn't like, and beats him now twice?
That's a little bit overblown. They've made nice after Brady found the way to beat Belichick.
Hear me out. I don't think it's going to happen. But I don't think it's – like, no one had Brady going
to
the Bucs.
Are you ready to win a Super Bowl now with Brady?
Yes.
That's the question.
If you get, like, still a very good Tom Brady – of course, you have the Zach. This is a team that has the offensive and defensive rookie of the year on it, and they're going to miss the playoffs. Quentin Williams is a first team All Pro.
Oh, I love
DJ Reed
Williams.
Is a Pro Bowler. They have
Garrett Wilson's a stud.
Breece Hall would have won rookie of the year if he didn't get hurt. So you bring him back and AVT. The Jets remind me a lot of the Bucs in 2020 and the Rams last year. They are a quarterback away from being able to take the next step. They are an elite quarterback away from being a legit championship contender.
The only thing when you look inside that division. You have the Bills, who are dominant. You have the Dolphins, who are starting to get in the right direction. We'll see if they make the playoffs. I think they will. Patriots are not good, but as long as Belichick's there, they're always like this year with the bottom five roster, be able to win 7-8 games. I wonder if Brady looks at that division and says, yeah, I could go elsewhere. Now, the NFC West isn't as strong. If the 49ers want him, he will go to the 49ers. Maybe the AFC South. You look at the AFC South with Tennessee. I know the Jaguars right now are looking pretty damn good. I think they're going to win that division. But him and Vrabel, very close. And they're going to need more weapons there. But you know, when you bring in Brady, a lot of people are going to want to join.
Excellent point. The only thing I would say is, we all said the AFC West is the greatest division we have ever seen. And then look what happens.
Yeah.
So the NFL is so year to year. There's so much inconsistency.
But the AFC East is proven with the Bills. Everyone else who knows.
For sure. But the idea that year to year a division can't flip, we see it all the time. Now, we're accustomed to the New England always winning the AFCs when Brady and Belichick were there for 20 years. I feel like the NFL is a lot different now. So, look, I don't think it's going to happen. But I don't think it's the craziest idea in the world that he would at least consider the idea of going there.
And part of me just wants to puke just the thought of Tom Brady wearing Jets green. I just can't envision it. I think I would maybe retire if that ends up happening. Not seriously retire because I need to still make a living and still pay bills and things like that.
Hey, look at you. You got your own show here, a nice cushy studio.
Yeah,
you can't get that away.
It's nice. Don't get me wrong. But out of 100%, Brady next year to the Jets, where do you put that number?
5%. But at least it's a conversation.
And you would
you
want
have.
That as a Jet fan?
I want to win, Zach. All right? I want to win. I do not care how they win, who the quarterback is. Just win. I had people calling my YouTube postgame show last night. Well, if they brought in Brady or Rodgers, it'd be all about them winning if the Jets won a Super Bowl with them.
Who cares if you win? Who cares?
You think a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan cares that it was all about Brady winning after he left the Pats? Who cares? I want to win. All I know is losing football. I just want to see this team win. That's what makes this year so frustrating because it's not the same old Jets. It's the same old quarterback, but you have a good team that came up short because of the ineptitude of one guy on the roster.
Brandon Tierney, who you know does local radio, used to do national radio here, now does local radio on The Fan. He suggested today that they have to call Sean Payton and see if they could get Sean here. Now, he says he likes Saleh, but if you could get Sean, people are hoping Saleh turns out to be a good coach. He's been solid this year. They've taken a big step this year. Many people didn't think they would. But do you think the Jets make that phone call this offseason for Sean?
No, and I'll tell you why. Robert Saleh is not at fault for Zach Wilson being god-awful. I think it was up to him. Mike White would be playing right now. And it's
unfortunate. Do you like LaFleur as an offensive coordinator?
I don't despise him like some Jet fans do.
Because a lot of Jet fans before the year was like, LaFleur's this greatest innovative offensive mind. He's going to be wonderful. And now everyone's killing the guy when the quarterback's just been brutal.
I mean, it's no secret. Anytime a quarterback not named Zach Wilson runs this offense, they move the ball.
When Strebler.
Let me tell you how bad it was last night, Zach. At this game, Chris Strebler made a pass to C.J. Uzama that should have been a walk-in touchdown. Yeah. He short-armed it. Uzama had to come back for the ball, so it's a big completion, not a touchdown, and they gave him a standing ovation. It was a horrific pass that you could have made for a touchdown. C.J. was
that.
You could have made this pass. And that's the bar that the quarterback play was at. They gave him a standing ovation because of how inept Zach Wilson was. So I don't care who the quarterback is. They have to just bring someone in that is competent. And I just don't put it on Saleh. I don't put it on LaFleur. Are they responsible for some of it? Yes. But ultimately, in Zach Wilson's four losses this year, guess the amount of touchdowns the Jets defense has allowed in the four games they've lost.
Well, I know up against the Patriots, that game, and they lost. In the four that they lost.
He's 5-4 as a starter in the four games they lost.
I'm going to say three.
Three. Think about it. That's not even a touchdown
is that
a game.
Number?
That's the number.
Oh, wow.
Three. Not even a touchdown per game in their losses. So it is tough to blame anyone on this team besides the second overall pick in the draft who has regressed. Last year, worst completion percentage, worst passer rating in the NFL. This year, worst completion percentage, worst passer rating in the NFL. And I like Zach personally. He seems like a nice kid. He's just not the guy, and they got to find a real quarterback if they want to get anywhere.
You know, Marco and I were talking about this before the start of the show, where you go back to that draft class, and everyone knew it was Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence. You were tanking for Trevor Lawrence and all that. So Trevor Lawrence goes one. Everyone wasn't surprised by it. But when you go back to that draft process, how quickly people just anointed Zach Wilson, who I watched play at BYU. We had Kalani Sitake on. We had Zach on. I remember watching him stop and fire a dart 30 yards down the field and hit Dax Milne fading right out of bounds. So I remember watching him play in college. Now, I can't tell you I watched each and every game of Zach Wilson, but I watched some of him. But it was wild with what we saw from Mac Jones, what you saw from Justin Fields. Then, obviously, not a lot of people watched Trey Lance. How just quickly people said, it's Zach Wilson's a second overall pick. And you were doing shows then, and you still are now. We were sitting there for a better part of like a month or two debating who was going to be the third overall pick because it was Lawrence and Wilson, and there was just not even a thought of anyone other than Zach Wilson being that second overall
pick. And you know what's amazing? If other teams were in the same spot as the Jets, they would have done the same thing. The Niners tried to come up to number two to take, reportedly, Zach Wilson. They couldn't, so they went up to number three with the Dolphins instead, and they ended up taking Trey Lance. So, look, it's a terrible look for Joe Douglas, as we talked about at the beginning of the segment, but ultimately, he would not be the first GM to overcome missing on a quarterback. Howie Roseman missed on Wentz. Here's Jalen Hurts. Les Snead missed on Goff. Here's ultimately Matt Stafford. So it's on Joe Douglas this offseason to rectify that mistake.
And you don't anticipate this offseason that they will try to move up in the draft to go get a quarterback or you know, along those roads, because they're not going to have a worse enough draft pick to be picking like early in the top 10. And who even knows how good these quarterbacks are going to be, because outside of Bryce Young, I don't really love anyone. Like, I like C.J. Stroud. I don't love C.J. Stroud. Who knows what the case is going to be with Anthony Richardson. Hendon Hooker is going to fall out of the first round. Will Levis, like, whoever that guy is, you would expect the move this year to be via a trade or via free agency.
Has to. This team is too good. This team is ready to win. When does the Jet fan get to win? They had the longest playoff drought in the NFL.
When you went to those back-to-back AFC championships.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, that's 12 years ago, Zach.
Yeah,
and
it's a long time.
As awesome as they were, I want to see this team win, and they have the roster to do it. They don't have the quarterback.
Real quickly, before we take a break, this year, because you're as loyal of a Jets fan as there is, and one of my best friends is a Jet fan, and when they were, I think it was 6-3, he was buzzing, he was so locked in, playoffs, they're going to make it. This year, you guys have taken a step in the right direction. But the way that it's happened with how good of a record you guys had, where now it's obviously trending that you're not going to make the playoffs, how do you look back at this season, assuming the Jets don't find a way to somehow get in the postseason?
It's painful, and the only positive, and I hate even using the word positive.
Do you call it a disaster?
No, I'm not ready to go there. The only positive, and once again, using the word positive is disgusting to describe what I'm about to say. The only positive is you have an answer on Zach Wilson. It's not the answer we wanted in August, but at least you know. You have a really good team. Find the quarterback. Find the Jimmy G, Derek Carr. I don't care who it is. Find someone that could take this team from missing the playoffs because you have bad quarterback play like the Bucs in 2019 before they got Brady, and then find the guy that can get you over the top.
But what is Jimmy G, and I think it's going to be Jimmy G, week one. But what is Jimmy G or Derek Carr? Yes, it's more competent quarterback play than what you have now. But big picture in that 2 to 3 year window, because who knows how much longer those guys last, what do you think those guys could do for your football team if it's a Carr or a Jimmy G?
Look, make the postseason, and then you get in, you have a chance.
But you don't think you're winning a Super Bowl when they get Derek Carr or Jimmy G?
Not necessarily, but doesn't Derek Carr kind of remind you a lot of Matt Stafford? In Detroit, Matt Stafford would get killed because the record wasn't good, and they would blame him ultimately when he got to a good team. He won. I think Derek Carr is a similar type of player.
My concern about Derek Carr is if he could handle New York.
Because he cried at the press conference in Vegas?
No, not only that, but I think he is a good leader. Don't get me wrong. We saw his leadership last year in just circumstances no one could even imagine. But I feel like there's a lot of excuses, a lot of woe is me from Derek Carr. Like, oh, this is the year to put up or shut up. I feel like I've been hearing that for 4 years from Derek Carr. Him in New York concerns me a little bit. Hey, it's a massive upgrade. I just don't know if he can handle New York.
How many games would the Jets win this year with this team if they had Derek Carr?
If they had Derek Carr, I think they win 2 to 3 more games.
10, 11 wins. I mean, and that's where we're starting from. So, look, you might ultimately be right. I just want to see this team in the playoffs.
Would you rather have Carr or Jimmy G?
I think I would rather have Derek Carr because he's more durable. He's more durable. He's more durable. Jimmy Garoppolo is a nice player. He's always hurt.
Good, you're hurt. You're right.
He's always hurt. He's never healthy.
And when my team, and I know we got to take a break, when my team was looking for a quarterback, you know, before they drafted Mac Jones, who they got to put him in a position to succeed before we could figure out if he's the guy or not. But I said I did not want Jimmy G back. I know Jimmy G's good, but I don't look at Jimmy G as great. I don't look at Jimmy G as a franchise quarterback. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Jake Asbin here with us in studio. We'll be spending one more segment with us. Do a little college football on the other side and squeeze in a few more points on the NFL.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, thank you very much. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Jake Asbin is in studio with us for another segment. So, Jake, you do local radio every day in Houston. We know the Texans are abysmal. They're just a disaster team. Let's just tackle two things with the Texans. Lovie Smith is gone at the end of the season. They're going back-to-back, one and done.
The only thing that could keep Lovie Smith, Zach, is if they don't want the perception out there that they're dumpster fire for firing another minority head coach after just 1 year. They fired David Culley last year. They wanted to be better this year. They won four games with Culley last
year. They got worse.
And they are, with more talent on the roster, they got worse. So I think Lovey's gone unless ownership steps in and says we don't want that PR nightmare. But I'd argue keeping Lovey's a bigger PR nightmare.
Will they interview McCown again? Because McCown the last 2 years, and I think you've tweeted about this because I agree with it when I saw it, you would think, and maybe there's more to this, that they clearly wanted to hire him. But they didn't.
The Brian Flores lawsuit prevented them from hiring him. So they panicked and went to Lovie Smith.
But
they didn't even interview Lovie Smith. Then 2 days later, after the McCown stuff comes out, hey, Lovie Smith is your head coach.
And they were also interviewing Flores, too. And then once he sued the league, they couldn't hire him and whatnot. But when it comes to McCown, if this dude really wanted to be a coach, and they kind of gave him the wink-wink, like, we will hire you, why isn't he on the staff or not even there, on another NFL staff or on a college staff?
You know what he's not doing.
Is he coaching high school?
He's coaching high school football in Rusk, Texas. And look, I like Josh McCown.
We were joking about that the other day. We're like, he's probably coaching some high school somewhere.
He is. And his kid, I think, is at Colorado. He might have to transfer now because Deion's coming in. That's a whole other
He's bringing his Louis Deion.
He's bringing his own guys in there. But look, with all due respect to McCown, and I like him, like, if you really want to be an NFL head coach, the last 2 years, you have not been on a coaching staff anyway. Even as a quarterback coach,
it's not a Jeff Saturday situation.
Get some semblance of experience. And thank God the Saturday debacle happened, because I was worried from a Texan fan perspective, if it somehow worked, that would give the Texans the idea, hey, if they did it, why can't we do it?
So is it Jonathan Gannon? Is it Shane Steichen? Those are some other names that you hear. Will they bring back Mufasa, D'Amico Ryans? Who's going to be the coach of the Texans next year?
Well, the name the fan base wants is D'Amico, because he's one of the best players in the history
Mufasa,
of the franchise.
Who wouldn't want him? And he's a heck of a defensive coordinator.
He's done a tremendous job. But the reality is, nobody knows what Nick Caserio is going to do. And honestly, Zach, what has Nick Caserio done to earn the opportunity to hire a third coach in 3 years? It doesn't happen. It does not happen. I understand he inherited a mess with the Deshaun Watson situation, but some of the early decisions he's made, like going Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner, they look abysmal. So What has he done to earn the opportunity to now hire a third coach in 3 years?
Nothing. Work for an incompetent organization, and an incompetent organization is doing competent things.
And so if I'm the Texans, what
this will
I
be
would
the
do,
last coach he hires.
For sure. But his first two hires have been unmitigated disasters. So.
Yeah, but you know what? They didn't want to hire either of those guys. That was placeholders.
Why did they hire Culley
down?
Jim Caldwell was available. They could have brought him in for 2 years.
No, fair point.
And why? So if you didn't want to hire Culley, then why did you fire him after 1 year? If your plan all along was basically to reset the deck, get cap space, get the first pick in the draft, why did you fire Culley after a 4-1 season last year?
Because they love bringing unwanted attention to that organization.
So they bring in Lovie Smith, who they didn't even interview until the process was pointing them to the fact they couldn't hire McCown. And then here's Lovie Smith, and now poor Lovie Smith, he's not a good coach, but I mean, he's the only Lovie
Smith.
Getting
paid, so.
He was the only person. The Texans were the only team, I should say, that would have made Lovie Smith their head coach.
Oh, 100%.
So now they're going to fire him, and Nick Caserio is going to get to pick another coach? That doesn't sit right with me.
Number one overall pick. It has to be Bryce Young. Is there a lot of conversation locally in Houston about going someone other than Bryce Young?
There is, because there's a concern that Nick Caserio being such a traits and size guy, that Bryce Young being 6 foot, 5'11".
But he's a Belichick guy, Caserio. Belichick, Caserio, we know the whole Saban connection too. I think that could be the exception. Could be because Saban's going to say you should draft this.
My
guy.
Fear would be Will Levis for them.
Number one overall. I like Will. He's been on this show twice.
They took Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner. They were one of the few teams that would make that decision. How am I supposed to know that Nick Caserio wouldn't take the guy who's 6'5", looks like Josh Allen, you know, has all the characteristics of being a good quarterback, other than the fact that he didn't play well in college this year, but no one wants to talk about that. Look, they should take Bryce Young. As someone who follows the Texans every day and covers them locally on radio down there, I can't sit here and confidently tell you that they're going to do what logic tells you they should do.
Well, yeah, that's fair. Ugh, you're making Hickey excited. He smiled because he has this theory. And it's funny, I told him this theory, Hot Take Hickey, 2 months ago. He should be leading the charge in his very popular Odyssey podcast for the Indianapolis Colts, where he covers the Colts and breaks it down like no other way Hot Take Hickey can. I said 2 months ago, I go, your team stinks. And he didn't want to admit that his team was awful. And he was still holding out hope that they were going to make the playoffs. He's going to lead the charge for Bryce Young. Now, 2 months later, he's hoping that the Texans are going to mess things up and they're not going to draft Bryce Young so his team could climb up to 2, or maybe they fall down because the Colts are like 5th or 6th right now or somewhere in the draft.
Hot take
Hickey. So you
Hickey.
Just gave him hope.
I'm sure he's excited.
Do me a favor. Say Hot Take Hickey again so we can make sure we have that in our drops.
Hot Take Hickey.
All right, you can make your point now.
The point I was going to make is, how excited are you, Hot Take Hickey, for Week 18 of the NFL season, Texans at the Colts? These two bitter rivals tied in Week 1, and they meet again in Week 18 as 7 people will tune in to watch.
And Hickey will be one of them. And probably stream them on multiple devices, so you may be like 4 or 5 people.
I'll be locked in as well. It's my job, but I'm not going to like it, but I will do it.
This should be the
last
Sunday
week
night
of the season. Take the week off on that one.
No better way to end the regular season than Colts-Texans dueling over maybe the number one overall pick.
All right,
let's go.
That was our Indianapolis Colts talk of the day, brought to you by Hot Take Hickey. Real quickly, college football playoff. Who's going to the national championship game, in your opinion?
I hate picking chalk, but these semifinals have proved out to be chalk so many times. So I'm just going to take the 2 favorites. I'm going to ride Georgia. I'm going to ride Michigan. I think we get a great final.
Which game will be closer? Will it be Georgia up against Ohio State, or will it be Michigan up against TCU?
You know, being in Texas and watching a lot more TCU
Sonny
than most.
Been great this year.
I think it's going to be that game. I really do. I think TCU, I mean, you look at their games this
year. I
love
Duggan.
They battle every game. They find a way every game. It's not like they were blowing teams out.
Johnson's a heck of a wide receiver.
They have a couple first-round picks on that team. They're well-coached, as you mentioned. I think that game's going to be really close. You know, everyone's talking about Georgia, Ohio State, and Ohio State's going to get redemption. Ohio State got punched in the mouth. How are they going to respond to that when they face a better defense now in Georgia?
This is a huge game, obviously, for multiple reasons for Ohio State, but no one bigger than their quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Because if we want to have Hickey start to wishfully think that his team's going to go draft Bryce Young, if C.J. Stroud beats Georgia, the perception about C.J. Stroud, who's a good quarterback, will change, I think, overnight. From that game, and there will be more talk for C.J. Stroud to be the number one
overall. Huge storylines in that one. Really, it is a really good college football playoff. You got a couple new school teams in there. You got obviously the legacy schools, and Georgia trying to go back to back. I am very excited to watch these playoff games.
Yes or no? And I know we got to get out of here in 30 seconds. It's happening. We already know that. But are you a fan of expanding to 12 teams?
I don't love the number. I am a fan of expanding.
What would you have done it to?
8 instead.
8? Okay. I'm anti-expansion, but I waved the white flag and realized that money was going to win out, and I was saying 8. You take the we'll see what the Power 5 ends up looking like, but the 5 Power 5 conference champions, two wild cards in the one group of five spot would have been the way that I did it for eight. How can people follow you, Jake Asman, of course?
At Jake Asman is where you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube as well.
Just Jake Asman?
Just my name. Only one S. A-S-M-A-N. Not yes. The ass man. We're just talking about Jake Asman here. Asman like Jasmine.
Yes. I see that in your Twitter bio. Great to see you, my friend.
Thank you for having me, my man. It's been an honor to be back in this building. I worked here 4 years ago, so first time back. Honor to be with you.
Well, come on back. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.